Well, in Daniel 11:32, the Bible said, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries." Now watch this little passage of scripture. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Bible said in the book of Psalms that those that know His name shall trust in Him. That's an odd statement. They that know His name shall trust in Him. You know what God's saying? There's about 280 some names and titles of Jesus Christ in your Bible. And we went through some of them, and we're going to go through some tonight. What God is saying, study my names. It's through my names that you'll understand who I am. And as you understand those names and who I am, you'll be better able to trust in me. And the one thing I found out about it is here comes a situation in life, all right? Here comes this stuff, and you're going down this trail of life, and you've got these names of Christ in your heart and your mind. The Holy Ghost will bring that up, and He'll give you strength and give you victory in situations that you would not have. They that know His name, the Bible said that they're going to be strong and they'll do exploits. So it's important that we know the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're up to, we're kind of picking this up. It's been a few years since I started in A. It takes a long time to preach on 280 some names. And sometimes I preached on one, and sometimes I preached on six or seven. And I kind of quit when I got up there around G and F, and I went off on some other stuff. So we're going to just be doing that once in a while. And tonight we're on the letter F in the Bible. And so here we go. Lord, we need Your help tonight. Help us to preach and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I am so glad that You saved me. And I thank You for calling me to preach. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. For His name is the name above all names. And in His name, every knee shall bow. Lord, tonight help us to, as Christians, to realize that if we will know and understand and lay on our heart Your names in the, as You've given it in the Scripture, the Lord is going to give us strength and grace and wisdom and faith, Lord, to face the things that may come our way. Lord, I appreciate it, all that You are to us. I pray bless this message to the hearts of these people, and I pray that You'd be glorified tonight. And Lord, tonight we just want to lift up Brother Jim Atkins to You, Lord, and pray that You'd comfort he and his wife and help him through this time, God, I pray. And Lord, for Brother Paul and Brother Dale and just those that are sick and afflicted and aged and feeble in our congregation, we just pray for them and lift them up tonight, God, that You'd comfort them. And Lord, we pray that tonight that You'd give us bread from heaven and sustenance, Lord, and strength to go out tomorrow and live for the Lord. I pray, God, that You'd bless us tonight with Your power and Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The first one I want to give to you tonight is Jesus is called the firstborn among many brethren in Romans 8:29. Now, some of these references I'm not going to go to, but Jesus Christ is called the firstborn among many brethren. That means that if you go back in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus 22 and in chapter 34, watch this. God said the firstborn is His. The firstborn, not only of the animals, but the first, not only the first fruits, but the firstborn in your family, the firstborn son was to be given to God. Now you think just a minute. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the firstborn, and was He not given? Was He not given for our sins? The firstborn was to be offered to God. The fact of it is, you were to bring a lamb as a substitute and in place of that son and give him to the Lord. And by the way, why would God want the firstborn? You know, if you've got a firstborn in your family that loves God, he's going to have an influence on the rest of your kids. I watch in the families of this church. I want to encourage you tonight. The Bible said Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborns have a lot of influence on the rest of the kids. That's just the honest truth. They really kind of set the tone in the family. And I want to encourage you that are firstborns here tonight that you would just set your heart to love the Lord and realize that God has given you a ministry as a firstborn. You have a ministry to your brothers and sisters. You have a ministry to in your family. And you in a special way belong to God. God says, I want that firstborn. Well, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. That means He's preeminent and He was to be. And the God the Father, He didn't ask you and I to do anything that He didn't do Himself. He gave His firstborn among many brethren for you and I and offered Him as a sacrifice for our sins. The second in the name of Jesus Christ in the letter F is the first begotten of the dead. That's in Revelation 1:5. He's the first begotten of the dead. That means this. He was the first one to rise from the dead, never to rise again. There were people who died and were resurrected. Lazarus, he died. Jesus resurrected him. But Jesus Christ is the first one that was raised from the dead, never to die again. He is the first begotten of the dead. He is the conqueror of death. He is risen, and the Bible said He is alive forevermore. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's also what the Bible calls in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 20, the first fruits of them that slept. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ is the first fruits. And then there's the gleaning, the harvest, and then there's the gleanings. And Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those. He's the the fact of it is, there's three things there. There's the resurrection, the rapture, and the revelation of Jesus Christ in that. As the first fruits, He is our resurrection. As the harvest, He's our rapture. And as our gleaning, He is our revelation. John 5:28 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth." Christ's resurrection assures you and I that we will be resurrected. And He is the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus Christ is also in Revelation 1:5, the faithful witness. Now hang on to your hat. A witness tells what he knows. A witness tells what he knows. The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Dean was telling me this evening that over in England, now in their court system, they can swear by Allah. Isn't that sick? I want to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. A faithful witness to the truth about us. Now think about with me, the truth will come out. Truth's hard to hear, isn't it? I've been amazed. It's kind of interesting to me just to watch the news situation. I got so tickled. This Brian Ross just Friday. Whenever Flynn, was charged with lying to the FBI, he got on ABC News and said that Flynn said that Trump had told people to, in other words, contact Russians while he was a candidate. The stock market dropped 350 points within an hour. And there's a good reason for that. Because if that was true, there's probably going to be an impeachment. Come to find out, it wasn't true. It was a lie. And Brian Ross tonight has been suspended for 4 weeks without pay for lying on a national broadcast. Can I tell you that most of what you hear on the news is not true? It's just not true. If it may be partially true, partly true. And by the way, most of what you hear out on the street and most of what we hear from other people, it's either got stuff left out. It's not all the way. It's not just exactly how many besides me ever told a story how you wanted it to sound. Maybe not completely how it was. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a faithful witness. And you know what? He's going to tell the truth at judgment about our deeds, our words, our thoughts, our motives, and our attitudes and the intents of our heart. Knowing that Jesus Christ is a faithful witness, that the whole and complete truth is going to come out, I ask you this question now. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to have the faithful witness tell it all about you and I? Because I'm telling you something that if we could just get a glimpse of judgment and we're headed there, that He knows the intents and the thoughts of our hearts. He knows why we complimented somebody. He knows why we said what we said to somebody where there was ulterior motives in it. I'm going to tell you something. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and we're going to fall into His hands. Our Savior tonight is a faithful witness. He knows every time we've had a bad thought, a rotten thought, a wicked thought. He knows everything we said under our breath. He knows the attitudes within our heart. He's a faithful witness. But I want to say this to you tonight. He's also going to be a faithful witness to His children, to the saved. The Bible said that He will confess us before the Father. You know what I'm glad tonight? Yeah, I'm glad He knows every wicked, sorry, low-down thing I've ever done. But I'm also glad He's going to be a faithful witness that when I called upon Him and put my faith and trust in His sacrifice on the cross, and trusted in His shed blood to pay for my sin, He's going to be a faithful witness to God the Father about that at the judgment seat. And yes, the devil can say, Reg Kelly did this and Reg Kelly did that, and he can accuse me, and he is the accuser of the brethren. But I have a faithful witness tonight. And I'm telling you something. God knows I have trusted Him as my Savior. And I've trusted the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He's going to confess me before the Father. And I'm glad to have a faithful witness tonight. He's going to be faithful to witness. Amen. Make sure that you have a faithful witness. Well, I love this one here. In Hebrews 6:20, it says, He's our forerunner. He's our forerunner. You say, man alive. The Bible said, whether the forerunner is for us entered into the veil. That means that Christ went before us. He went before us. Did you know that Jesus was tempted in every point like as you and I are, yet without sin? The Bible said that he was suffering his trial, his testing, everything. You know what? He's forerun for me. He's already experienced death. He's already experienced the grave. He's already experienced the resurrection. He's already experienced the glory. I'm telling you, everything you're going to go through, he's already forerun for you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's went ahead of us all the way. I'm glad tonight that this week I'm not going anywhere my Savior's not already. He's already plowed the way for me. He's already been there. You're not going to go through anything that he hasn't already been through. You say, oh, Reggie, things is tough. I didn't have any place to lay my head. Neither did he. My friends rejected me. So did he. And there's nothing you're not going to face, boy. He has already been the forerunner. But what I'm so glad is that he's forerun death for me. I'm glad that he has conquered death. He's already been there. He's conquered death. I'm glad he's come up on the other side. I'm glad that he is in heaven. He is my forerunner tonight. I like that name. Then the Bible said he's fairer than the children of men. Psalms 45 verse 2. Now I want to tell you something tonight. When I was younger, and somehow or another that just never clicked with me very much. The older I get and the further I go, the more this name of Christ means something to me. Fairer than the children of men. No one has ever matched the beauty of the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible said outwardly that there's no form or comeliness that we should desire him. There's no beauty. But I want to tell you something. When you look at him and his person, you can't see anything but absolute holy beautiness in our Lord Jesus Christ. No one has ever matched his love. Did you know nobody loves you like Jesus loves you? You know I love Karen, and I know Karen loves me. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad tonight she's got somebody that loves her better than I do. I'm glad that whenever I go off the scene, she's going to have somebody that can be with her every night. Somebody that loves her with an undying eternal love. You talk about fairer than the children of men. I'm glad for the beauty of his kindness. Man alive. I drive to church tonight, and I don't know why, but I was reminded of my past and some sin in my past. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad for the kindness of God and the grace of Almighty God. He's beautiful in his kindness. He's beautiful in his truth. Man, I'm telling you, in this nation of lying, this world of lies and half-truths and all kinds of garbage, I tell you, truth to me is beautiful. I love truth. His compassion is beautiful. Nobody can comfort your soul like Jesus can. His strength is beautiful. I'm glad that he's stronger than all the armies of this world. Man, you talk about somebody beautiful. He's fairer than the children of men. His courage, his grace, his words. The Bible said never a man spake like this man. His goodness, his mercy. And I tell you what's beautiful to me. When I see my Lord, I'm going to see some scars. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I think you better get ready. The Bible said we shall see him as he is. The Bible said we're going to see him face to face. Did you know they beat him till he was marred more than any man? Did you know they scourged him? They ripped him to pieces. They pierced his side. And I believe for all of eternity, and when I'm tonight by faith and look to my Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father tonight, I see one whose scars was there for me. And to me, those scars are beautiful because I see that he's fairer than the children of men. He loved me and gave his life for me. There's a beauty in his scars. There's a beauty in his mercy. And mercy's pretty. Mercy's beautiful. One of the things I think is beautiful about my Lord is he's long-suffering. He is so patient. He's beautiful in his holiness. Our Lord never sinned. Muhammad marrying a 12-year-old girl. That's historical fact. Nothing but a pervert. They don't deny that. They almost gloat in it. And they do use it as an excuse for child marriages. Our Lord, he never sinned. Muhammad took his sword and slaughtered people all over the country that didn't agree with him. Not our Lord. I'm going to tell you something. He's beautiful in his holiness. Can I tell you tonight, now you listen to this preacher. Jesus Christ never one time looked on a woman with lust in his heart. Not one time. Mary took and wiped his feet with ointment and dried his feet with the hairs of her head. And he never had an unclean and impure thought in his mind while she did it. The Bible said he's without sin. You better be looking at your Savior tonight, because he's fairer than the children of men. They spit in his face and he never had a retaliatory and vengeful thought on him. They falsely accused him and he didn't get mad and say, I'll get you back. He's fairer than the children of men. What a wonderful name our Lord has, fairer than the children of men. He's beautiful in his righteousness. He's beautiful in his resurrection. And we're going to have a body fashioned like unto his body. And I'm going to tell you, someday he's going to be beautiful in his return. I'm like Van. You hear that trumpet sound? And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine tonight? Wouldn't it be a good night for the Lord to come back? The trumpet of God sound, the dead in Christ rise. I'd see my dad. Phew, mercy. He's beautiful in his return. He's going to be beautiful when he comes back to this earth at the end of the millennial reign. His feet touch Mount of Olives. And he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years in righteousness. Well, I tell you, we have a beautiful Savior tonight. And then the Bible said in Jeremiah 51:19 that he's the former of all things. By him were all things made, the Bible said. Without him was not anything made that was made. I got out of the car tonight, looked over there in the east, and there's a great big old foot. How many saw the big moon hanging up there? Jesus made that. I pulled out here, and there's a white oak tree sitting out here. Jesus made that. When you see that butterfly flitting across the flowers, Jesus made that. When you see that bee working on that honeysuckle vine, Jesus made that. When you see that rose, Jesus made that. When you see that sunrise set, Jesus made that. When you look up the sky tonight and can't count the stars in the universe, Jesus made that. He's the former of all things. By him were all things made, and by him all things consist. Isn't it good to serve a God who made it all? And then the Bible said he's the fruit of the earth. In Isaiah 4:2, he's a branch. He's our branch, but he's the fruit off of the branch. Boy, I'm telling you something. The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. If you ever want to taste something good, just try Jesus out. And then the Bible said he's the firstborn of every creature in Colossians 1:15. That talks of his supremacy, his preeminence over creation. He's before all things. Revelation 19:11 said he's faithful and true. I love that. By the way, that's given when Jesus Christ is coming back in power and in glory to this earth. He's faithful and he's true. I want you to know something tonight. Jesus is faithful to you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You say, well, after what I've done, I don't know how he could be faithful to me. Yes, he's faithful to you. He didn't qualify, I'll never leave you nor forsake you with certain situations and circumstances. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be faithful to his word. He is faithful and he is true. You see, when you get to doubting, when Satan throws all the junk at you and you remember his name is faithful and true, amen. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll put a smile on your face instead of getting depressed. You see why the Bible said, though you that know his name shall be strong and do exploits? Because they know who he is. You know what Satan's whole goal for you is? For you not to know your Savior. Satan doesn't want you to know Christ. He wants you to keep you ignorant about who you really came to worship tonight. Let me tell you, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is God Almighty. I'm telling you tonight, he is faithful and true. His word is true. Think about this. He's faithful. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For that not to happen, he'd have to be a liar and not faithful and not true. Well, I'm glad tonight I can go to lay my head on my pillow and say, Lord, you're faithful and you're true. You're going to do what you said you would do. You're going to be who you said you were going to be. Can I tell you tonight, you're going to have people and friends in life and they're not going to be faithful. And they're not going to be true. To be honest about it tonight, we're not even going to be faithful to each other all the time. And we're not going to be true to each other all the time. But we have one tonight who is faithful and true all the time. Faithful. Then the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 4:19 that he's the faithful creator. Now this is important. The faithful creator. Think about this. Did you know that every time you plant an apple seed, you're going to get what? Isn't it interesting that mankind is monkeying with stuff? Yeah. He's playing with seeds. Mankind's playing with seeds. I'll tell you, you talk about the depths of depravity. This junk going around. Right now, over in England, a man got arrested and charged with a crime for not addressing a pervert in the way that the pervert wanted them to address him. They got a little. Some of those towns have got laws over now that if you think you're a transgender person, and by the way, there's a school in Maine this past week that made it a rule in that public school that if you're a transgender, you have to be called by your preferred pronoun, or you can get in trouble with the school. Is that not sick? Can I tell those little perverts tonight something? That God is a faithful creator, and I don't care how twisted their mind gets. You were born a man, you always going to be a man. You born a woman, you're going to be a woman. He's a faithful creator. An orange is always going to be an orange seed. And I'll tell you right now, a crow is always going to beget a crow. And two crows crossing don't make an eagle. I'm so glad that it's all in front of them. It's right there for them to see tonight. He is a faithful creator. And what he creates, the Bible said, after its kind. Goats beget goats. Horses beget horses. Dogs beget dogs. Cats beget cats. He is a faithful creator. And I don't care how much man monkeys with it, it'll always be that way. Now let me give you something sweet out of this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When you got saved, God created somebody within you. A new man created in true righteousness and true holiness. And he is a faithful creator. I hope you ought to take that to the bank. Well, then he's in Isaiah 28. I want you to take your Bibles there because I want you to read this. He's our foundation. Isaiah chapter 28. I don't know whether anybody gets any good out of this or not, but I am. It'll help us. We need to know who our God is. You don't need to know who's got the latest rock and roll song on the charts. You don't need to know who's the most famous movie star. You don't need to know who's a hot rod basketball player or football player. But you do need to know who Jesus is. Isaiah 28, verse number 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, the righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overthrow the hiding place. He's saying this to you. You better have a foundation, and that foundation cornerstone is going to be laid to the plumb line, and everything is going up from that. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus Christ is straight, and he's true, and he's our foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can any man lay other than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that the winds and the rain and the storm came, and if you're not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, you're going to get washed away and blown away. Luke 6:48 says they digged deep and laid on the foundation. God never told you and I to make religion our foundation. He never told us to make money our foundation. He never said to make possessions your foundation. He never said to make yourself your foundation. And I'll just say tonight, any nation or any family or any individual who does not have Jesus Christ as their foundation is going to get wiped away and washed away, blown away. And you wonder why we've got so many children nowadays in American families. I'm telling you something. I'm telling you tonight, if your marriage is not built on Jesus Christ, get ready. The storms are coming. It's going to wipe you out. Your marriage better be on the foundation rock of Jesus Christ. You're raising your family. You better be raising them on the rock. If you don't have that foundation, are you making sure your family's on the foundation, on the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ? Individuals, by the way, businesses, not only nations, but anything in life that's not built on Jesus Christ is doomed to fall eventually. And then He's not only our foundation, He's our fortress. 2 Samuel 22:2, Psalms 18, Psalms 31, 20, 31, 91:2, 144:2, David kept saying over and over again, the Lord is my fortress and my rock and my high tower. I have a fortress tonight. Isaiah said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Now you listen to me tonight. If He is my fortress, and He is, did you know nobody can get to me unless He allows it? He is my fortress. It'll do you good this week to realize when the devil tries to tell you that God, you know, man, everything's getting shaky, that you have a foundation and that you have a fortress. I'd like you to go out of here tonight. Would to God you'd forget about Reggie and you say, I'm going to think about Christ, that He's my foundation, that I'm not going to get washed away, that He's my fortress, that I'm safe in Jesus Christ. The fiery darts can come against me, but I have a fortress, my Lord Jesus Christ. David knew what he was talking about. Where you and I are at in David's life right now is part of where David wrote that. David wrote a lot about God being his fortress when he was being chased out of Jerusalem. It was part of what gave him the faith to endure and to sustain him during that time. And I want to tell you something tonight. God is our fortress. Old Martin Luther wrote that song, a mighty fortress is our God. Boy, I'll tell you, we need to make sure we understand that tonight. I hope you lay that to heart. He is our fortress. And then finally tonight, He's our friend. Man. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I love the old song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Sister Kelly, you've got a friend tonight. Everybody in this building tonight, you've got a friend in Christ. Proverbs 17:17 says this. Listen to it. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 27:6 said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll wound me once in a while, but His wounds are faithful. Matthew 11:19 said, He was a friend of the publicans and the sinners. Luke 11:5, in that great passage of Scripture, friend, lend me 3 loaves, capital F. John 15:13, no greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now I want you to tell me tonight as we close, now it's your turn to preach. You tell me what you're looking for in a friend. Let's go. What are you looking for in a friend? Loyalty. I want to ask you tonight, is Jesus loyal to you? What are you looking for in a friend? What would you consider that would qualify? Yes, sir.
Somebody I know that I can count on to come pull me out and I get stuck in the mud.
Somebody I can count on to come pull me out and I get stuck in the mud. How many think Jesus going to be there for you when you need Him? He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is that one who'll never leave you. Yes, Jim. Oh. I'm going to tell you right now, we all need a friend that'll tell us the truth. And He is that friend. What are you looking for in a friend tonight? What do you consider that makes up what a friend would be? Come on tonight. Tell me, yes. Someone who listens. Boy, I like that. I've got that written down. Somebody had a hand up somewhere. Huh? Honest. Don. You bet. What are you looking for in a friend tonight? Because I want to tell you something. He is. If you don't get anything outside of that, He's your foundation, He's your fortress, and He's your friend. When you go out of this building tonight, did you know that, Phil, I've lived long enough to know, how old are you, Phil? You're 50, I'm 63. We've been going down the road a long time together. But you know, I've lived long enough to find out, you know, think, you know what, you can think you've got a good friend and something can happen, and that friendship's not what it used to be. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm glad I got a friend. He ain't never going to leave. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to tell you, that word friend is quite a word, Brother Terry. He's my friend. My Savior, my God, the one who created this world, those stars that you're looking out there tonight that made those stars, He is your friend. Dean. I think he qualifies, don't you? Tommy.
Someone that can relate to where I'm coming from.
What are you looking for in a friend tonight? Yes. You know what a friend will do? A friend will forgive you. I want you to go out this week, and I don't want you looking, can I tell you something? I won't want you looking at yourself. Quit looking at yourself. God never told you to look at yourself, at least for any length of time. I want you to go out tonight, and I want you to look at Him. And I want you to remember tonight, He is your foundation, He is your fortress, and He is your friend. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. A friend laid, He said, greater love hath no man. He said, a friend laid down his life, he laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for you. And I want you to know something that when you leave this building, you have a friend in Jesus Christ. He's not just your Savior. He's not just God. He's your friend. Do you know what I know about a friend? You can talk to him. You can talk to your friend and kind of empty your heart out. And I'd encourage you tonight, be careful about emptying your heart out to anybody else, but don't ever be afraid to empty your heart out to your friend, Jesus Christ. You got a friend. His name is Jesus. I hope that'll permeate your thoughts this week, because it's so precious. A friend. You know what a friend will do? If he can, he'll pay your bill for you. He paid my bill. I couldn't pay it, but my friend did. How many kind of glad you got a friend? Jesus. Please, this week, go out in your car and get rid of your concept that God's got a big club up in heaven just waiting for you to do something wrong so He can hit you with a stick. The stick fell on Him. It ain't falling on you if you've trusted Him. He's your friend. So when you're out working this week and the devil throws all kinds of junk about you, well, you ain't got many friends. I'm going to be honest with you. If you've got Him, you don't have to have a lot of friends. He's a friend. Let's stand together. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, I was just thinking when we sing that chorus, That name, friend, would be an awful good lead into witnessing to somebody. You're talking to somebody and you're wanting to witness to them. You could say, could I tell you about my friend? Have you heard about my friend? And they might say, well, who's that? You could say, his name is Jesus. And I'm telling you, he's the best friend I've ever had. The best friend I've ever had. Well, I hope you'll go out of here tonight saying, Lord, I just want to thank you for being my friend. For loving me when I was unlovable. For paying my bill for me. For listening to me. For caring about me. He's your friend. He's your friend.